So now here on BBC Radio 7, it's the final chapter of a particularly gruesome case for P-Division. Attempting to track down the murderer of a man found headless on a piece of waste ground, the detectives have discovered a connection to a spate of arson attacks and to a young woman called Louise who's been beaten up. Well, now they're about to find out more unnerving facts about this headless body case, so more gruesome descriptions are on the way in this final episode.
We present the fourth and final episode of Two-Way Cut by Peter Turnbull, dramatised from the original novel by Stephen Mulrine. The cops from Glasgow's P Division have found the wife of the murder victim and have linked his death with a series of acts of willful fire-raising on Glasgow's south side, and with the beating up of a young woman who's now known to be suffering from full-blown AIDS. Detective Constables Montgomery and King are searching her flat. Two-Way Cut.
Books for decoration. Nice bindings. Well, I don't suppose Louise Salisbury will get round to reading them now. I take it Elka Willems is doing the honours with the next of kin.
I don't envy her. Oh, you better wash yourself around the sofa here. There's a good deal of blood.
It's all over the place in the bathroom. She obviously tried to clean herself up before staggering down to the Royal. God. You can believe that stuff about these guys putting scaled down furniture into their show houses. I'm definitely not becoming a yuppie if it means I've got to live in joints like this.
I don't think Louise did much living in here.
No. And she won't do much now.
Mrs. Salisbury? Hello, Mrs. Salisbury?
Who is it?
Mrs. Salisbury, it's the police. Mrs. Salisbury?
Aye.
It's about Louise. Can I come in?
Louise? She in trouble, aye?
Yes, I'm afraid she is. Not with the police.
You'd better come in.
Do you mind if I switch this off?
Eh? No, go right ahead. Have a wee seat, hen.
Yes.
Aye. We've been having a wee drink since about Saturday, me and my fella. He's crashed out next door. He'll no bother us. What about yourself? Would you like a wee Goldie?
No, thanks.
Oh, aye. On duty, of course. Will you take a coffee? There's a jar here I can wash out and make you a coffee.
No, honestly.
So, Louise is in trouble.
Mrs. Salisbury, your daughter's in hospital.
Oh, my God. Is it serious?
I'm afraid it is.
Which one? Which hospital?
Rockhill.
Rockhill? How am I going to get up there? I'll need to tap money for a taxi.
I think you should sober up first.
Think I'm drunk?
Yes.
Ah, well, maybe I am. See, me and him's been on a wee bender since Saturday.
One day won't make much difference. I think she'd rather see you sober.
It's not that serious, surely.
It's serious. But she can wait until you're dried out.
Well, I'll go tomorrow.
Louise lived here?
Oh, aye, till she left. One day she was here, next day she wasn't. That was about 4 years ago. She never sees me.
Does she see her father?
Never knew who he was, hen. See me and men. It's like being a punch bag all my days. My man, that's my husband, Kenny, I mean. He put an axe over my head. See, my scalp's like a pocket full of zip fasteners. There's 5 scars in there, all stitched together. Put me in hospital, so he did, and got 5 years for it. I'll just need to make sure Tam's well out the road before he comes back. Anyway, hen, I'll work something out, right? I'll need to. Rockhill, you say?
Rockhill.
It's made of glass fibre.
Sorry?
The Buddha. It's made of glass fibre. Doesn't look it. But it is. My husband loves the Orient, as you may have noticed.
Yes, I can see that. Some beautiful things. Is Mr. Steen at home?
No. He's at his offices. Can I help you?
Police. Detective Sergeant Sussex.
Really? Well, shall we go inside? It's a bit chilly out here. These are genuine Japanese paper screens. Shoji, I think they're called. Personally, I prefer doors. My husband would make you take off your shoes, by the way. Would you like some coffee?
No, thank you. It's just you and your husband living here, Mrs. Steen.
That's right. Just him and me. I'm here all day and night. And he's here some of the time. When the fancy takes him.
I see.
Do you? Well, a policeman. I dare say you see more than most. I wonder if you can see my little problem, if you care to guess.
Drink?
Drink? Oh, never. The only drink problem I've got is that I can't get enough of it. I was in the garage, actually, when you came up the drive. Yes, the garage is vodka. The bottles in the coal bucket beneath the pile of old newspapers. And outside, behind the water barrel, is the rum. It's only the heavy stuff I take, you'll notice. And do you know something? I haven't had to buy a bottle in 3 years. My husband keeps all my wee planks topped up. It's like a daft game. He puts another bottle in place when the last one's getting empty. And I drink it, and we each kid on we don't know what the other one's doing. How to murder your wife without actually killing her.
You know there are detox programs, Mrs. Steen.
No use. You can't start unless you're sober when you go in. And if I even begin to look sober, he just pours me a drink. Yes, brings me my morning cup of tea when he's at home, and there's always whiskey in it to get me off on the right foot. Then I eat. I can only eat in the mornings. Slice of toast, boiled egg. But then I'm miraculous. Too smashed to keep anything down. Can just about make it to the garage and back. Some life. Yeah. So, what do you want to see him about?
We're hoping he can help us with some inquiries.
Oh, that's lovely. I love that when I hear it on the news.
A man has been detained in connection with the incident and is assisting police with their inquiries. Yes. I like that.
Mrs. Steen, what exactly is the nature of your husband's work?
This and that. All kinds of interests. Actually, only one main one. And that's the Orient. You can see what he's done to the inside of my house. It's like a bloody pagoda. He used to get me wearing a kimono as well. Now he just gives me a bottle and shoves me away in a room.
I really meant his business interests.
Oh, yes, I know, I know. I'm out of touch with all of that. I've been kept out of touch. He's got some floozy. Certainly hasn't made any demands. You know, demands. Long time. My husband comes home 2 or 3 times a week, picks up the mail, makes sure my bottles are topped up. Sometimes he's in and out in a couple of minutes. Or maybe hours. I don't know. I'm not very good on time. Listen, if he does come in, I'll tell him you called. Okay?
I think we're only just learning about him. Apart from the murder of Lurinsky, I think we can lay God knows how many extortions and fire-raisings at his door. All we need now is to nail him.
Yes, it's a pity I missed him, but I don't think the trip out to Bear's Den was wasted. That house had enough Japanese weaponry in the walls for the Seven Samurai.
Well, D.C. King's tale on him appears to have borne fruit, though I'm not exactly sure what to make of it. Why would he take Mrs. Lurinsky out to dinner? His victim's wife, if we're right.
There was no sign of coercion?
No, none at all, Sarge. He picked her up at her house. She came out to his car, dressed up to the nines, got in quite willingly. They drove into town to the casino, then played a couple of games of blackjack and went upstairs to the restaurant.
I'm just wondering who invited whom. Is it possible she's been cheating on her husband? Steen's wife did say he had a mistress.
Mrs. Lurinsky? Oh, I don't think so, Ray. Not the way she spoke when I interviewed her. Unless she's some actress.
Something I forgot to mention, sir. When I drove off after Steen and Mrs. Lurinsky, her house wasn't empty.
Why?
The lights were on, and there were people still in it. About four or five Chinese men, I think.
Curious, Aaron, curious. Relatives up for the funeral, maybe?
Oh, it could be. They were all in dark suits. I could see that much.
I just wonder what they'd think of Chai Chu going out nightclubbing with Steen, if that's the case.
Well, it's time we started leaning hard on a couple of people. What's Elka doing today, Ray?
W.P.C. Willems is going out to Rockhill, I believe.
Good. Send Montgomery along with her. She might be persuaded to do some serious talking. Although God knows how you lean hard on somebody in that young girl's condition. Anyway, the other one's a certain grieving Chinese widow. I just hope I'm not wrong about her.
I mean, it's all happened so quickly. 2 days ago I was walking around the city. Okay, I was feeling a bit tired, but I was basically fine. Now here I am, and I know I wouldn't leave this place except in a plastic bag. Did you see my mother?
Yes.
Did she have a good drink in her?
Yes. But she took in what I told her. She'll be here.
Aye, like mother, like daughter. We both got a doing off a man and wind up in the hospital. Some guy took an axe to her, did she tell you that?
Yes, she did.
He got the jail for it. But she'll take him back. She'll think it was her fault for annoying him. Aye, anyway, you haven't come out here for a social call?
No, we've come here for a reason. We think you know more than you're telling, Louise.
Deathbed confession? Well, I suppose I've nothing to lose. I dare say I won't be around by the time they get him into court.
Get who into court, Louise?
Steen. That's who you're talking about, isn't it? You know, the plans I had, the places I was going to visit. Canada first. I really wanted to see the Rockies and the Great Lakes. I've been promising myself that for years.
Louise.
Yeah, right. Steen. He topped that guy, Lurinsky. I saw it.
Well, have to take notes, Louise. You don't mind?
No. See, Steen had been trying to buy out Lurinsky for some time. Lurinsky wasn't having any, possibly because Steen was offering peanuts. Anyway, Lurinsky just wouldn't budge, so Steen decided to burn him out, same as he did the others.
We'll want some details about those later. We know a bit about Steen's extortion activities, but we'll just talk about the Lurinsky murder for now.
Well, the first thing you need to know is that Steen's obsessed with the Orient. Anything Chinese or Japanese.
Yeah, we know. The sergeant visited his home.
Yeah, well, you remember that story a couple of months ago? Some Chinese guy wouldn't sell out to their sort of mafia. Mm-hmm. The triads or the tongs or whatever. And they cut his hands and feet off and threw him out of a car into Circuit Hall Street.
Yeah, and I remember we got nowhere with that either. All we know is that a Chinese hit team were imported. They did the business and just vanished.
Well, anyway, that sets Steen thinking. And he says, see these Chinese? That's the way to do it. We'll knock off Lurinsky and then put a proposition to his co-owner. She's Chinese, incidentally.
Louise, she was also Lurinsky's wife.
Honest to God? Oh, Steen didn't know that.
Louise, what was your part in all this?
Me? I'm his bit of stuff. His maul, if you like. and his driver when he needs one. He held his big council award at Taylor's Court.
At your flat?
No, he's the owner. I just live there. Lived.
Louise, your relationship with Steen?
Oh, yeah. Go carefully when you arrest him. Don't get any blood in yourself.
What do you mean by his council of war?
That's where he decided we should call on Lerinsky.
Who's we?
Him and me and Spike and some fat guy for Castle Milk. I don't remember his name. He works up the stairs at the Zambezi.
Really? And he told us he was a student.
Is he hell? He's barely literate. Anyway, they took me with them because they'd all been drinking to get their courage up and they needed me to drive.
Steen's car, presumably?
Aye, a big Mercedes. We went out to Lerinsky's house in Maryhill.
And you actually witnessed the murder?
Yes. It was in the dining room. Steen was mad. I don't mean angry. I mean mad, insane, cold as ice. I think if Lerinsky had said, OK, I'll take your offer, it wouldn't have made any difference. He'd made up his mind. Lerinsky was to be topped, and that was it. It was the way Steen's mind works.
So what happened, Louise?
Well, they started talking. Lerinsky even looked relaxed. Spike and the fat guy were talking to him, and Steen getting behind him. He had a sword under his coat. One of these Japanese samurai things. He's got two in the wall of his house. Sharp as a razor. Anyway, while Lerinsky was looking away, Steen brought out his sword, held it in both hands, and swung it at the back of Lerinsky's neck. Oh, I've never seen anything like it.
I should hope not.
What about the clean clothes?
Oh, that was Steen's bampot idea. He thought it would help us get away with it in case we get fibres on us or whatever. He also made us wash it. Oh, rubber gloves and everything. Swinging his sword around. Nobody was going to argue with him. He'd brought a bottle of methylated spirits. Oh, I don't know. He was just agitated, totally illogical. He's no right in the heat, frankly.
So how did you carry the body from Lerinsky's house to the waste ground?
No, we didn't. We took him out to the car in two pieces, then drove across. They went home then. I dropped them off and left the Mercedes in town for Steen to pick up later. I was supposed to burn Lerinsky's clothes, which I tried to do over on the south side someplace. But it was pouring rain. Actually, I was feeling sick. I didn't know what it was then, of course.
Thanks, Louise. We're very grateful.
Well, I feel better for telling you. I never wanted to get involved with a psycho like Steen, but once you're in...
Louise, if you're feeling tired...
Yeah. Come back tomorrow and I'll tell you what I know about the extortion side of it.
We know he's connected with a lot of fire raising at business premises.
Yeah, it's simple enough. Steen would pick out somebody that owned a string of businesses, mainly restaurants, and torch one of them. Then he'd go and see the owner, no witnesses, of course, and tell them what he'd done prior to making them an offer they couldn't refuse.
We'll need details, Louise. Names and places.
I'll give you them. I may as well do something with the time I've got left. It's either that or occupational therapy, and I don't think embroidery's my scene.
You're a brave woman, Louise.
Thanks. I wish I was.
Hello? Ray Sussock?
Ray, is that you? Donahue here. Are you having a party or something?
No, sir, I'm afraid not. I'm feeling like a lynching party, though.
Ray, I'd like you to come in early. We're making arrests now in the Lerinsky killing. We've got enough for a warrant on Steen, and we'll have to seize his car for forensic to go over. I'm pulling everybody in, and you'll need to advise the arresting officers to handle Steen with care. Louise Salisbury was his mistress, and that means he'll be carrying the AIDS virus. If he resists and the blood starts flying, it could be very serious.
Right, sir. Do we know his whereabouts?
Well, DC King tailed him in Mrs. Lerinsky's company last night, so if he's not at his own place in Bear's Den, he might just be at hers in Busby. And she'll have a bit of explaining to do. There should be two arrests simultaneously. Montgomery and King can handle the two suspects at the Zambezi Club, Spike and his so-called student friend. The Zambezi shuts at one, so we'll make that 0 hour. Ray, I can hardly hear myself think with that racket going on. Shouldn't you be charging somebody with breach of the peace?
I'm sorry, sir. There's not much I can do about it.
Anyway, we'll let them get the last shift in, but make sure King and Montgomery don't underestimate them. They're in it up to their neck, and it's not pretty. Meanwhile, you and I and WPC Willems will present ourselves at Steen's house and move on to Busby if he isn't there. Whether or no, we'll remove those two samurai swords from his wall. It's possible there'll be traces of Lorinsky's blood on one of them, okay? King's on duty now, but I'll phone Montgomery. He'll be pleased. He's just knocked off less than an hour ago. Hope I don't interrupt anything for him.
Right, sir, I'll be there in about 15 minutes.
Well, make it 20, Ray. And bring in the guy with the ghetto blaster.
You can leave the dessert, Malcolm, if it's too much.
No, I'll manage. You slip into something more comfortable, if you like.
I already have.
I know. I'm just pretending I hadn't noticed. Hey. Come here. I'll use my left hand. But for the peaches, I mean.
Don't forget to eat whatever you do.
Oh, I've got to keep up my strength, sweetheart. After a long day chasing bad guys.
Oh, well. Sure you wouldn't like a second helping?
We'll play it by ear, shall we?
Go easy!
Hello? Malcolm Montgomery.
Donahue. Malcolm, we need you here ASAP. We're ready to make arrests.
Right, sir. I'll be there in two shakes. Sorry, sweetheart. Gotta go.
What? You cannot be serious.
Look, I've just come off shift. Donahue wouldn't call me back if it wasn't serious. This case is breaking. I'm needed.
And what about me? I've been waiting all night.
I'm sorry, Michelle. I really am. But the job comes first. You know that.
Well, why can't you get a daytime job?
Look, there'll be other times.
With me, there won't.
I happen to like my work.
Excuse me, lads.
Hi, boys.
Remember us?
Hey, what's going on here?
Jesus, there's cabs everywhere.
Oh, I'm sure you'll have had lectures on this up at the uni. It's called having your collar felt. You're about to be huckled, pal.
Just get in the van, please.
Come on, get up, Ray.
Okay, Constable, punt it in. Let's have some light in it.
No wonder she didn't hear us.
Still holding on to the bottle.
I take it this is Mrs. Steen.
Yes, I don't think there's much point in waking her, sir.
Nope. Okay, you two search the house.
Right, sir.
And those things can go immediately down to the station, into store, then to forensic first thing in the morning. Mind how you take them off the wall, and don't touch the edges. There could be God knows whose blood on them, apart from Lorinsky's, even his own. Ray, we'd better post the man on the drive. We've made the premises insecure, so we'll have to guard them until the lady wakes up. Hopefully sober. Not sober enough to call a joiner.
The house is empty, sir.
Looks like Busby next stop then, sir.
Yes. We'll pick up WPC Willems on the way back. This could be interesting.
Light's still on anyway.
Yes. If I'd been a betting man, Ray, I'd have put money on finding Steen's Mercedes parked outside as well. And I'd have lost.
It's just possible he's left and driven back to Pierce Den by another route.
Oh, well, we could have missed him, but it's unlikely.
Well, let's get moving. Stay a pace or two behind Elka, just in case.
Yes.
Mrs. Lorinsky, hello. We've met before.
Yes, of course. Inspector Donahue, how can I help you?
We're looking for Rudolf Steen.
He's not here, I'm sorry.
But you have seen him tonight?
Yes.
Do you mind if we come in and talk? This is Detective Sergeant Sussex and WPC Willems.
Yes, of course. Can we talk in the kitchen? I'm preparing food.
It's late to be working, Mrs. Larinsky, isn't it? It's after two.
Is it? I'm a night bird. I hadn't noticed. I'll just carry on if you don't mind. I'm preparing a chicken curry. I'll cook it tonight. Let it cool, then heat it in the microwave for tomorrow's dinner. I've cooked three other meals tonight. That's how I like to work. Cook five or six meals. Freeze them, then microwave them when I want to eat them. Very labour-saving, don't you agree?
Yes, I don't know what I'd do without it.
So Steen isn't here?
No.
He was here earlier, though.
No, he wasn't.
Mrs. Larinsky, you were seen having dinner with him.
I don't deny it, but not here. I don't like the man. He makes me shudder. I wouldn't allow him in my house.
But you had dinner with him.
He asked me. He wanted to talk. Strictly business.
What sort of business?
Oh, nothing new. Nothing he hasn't said before. He wants to buy me out. All three shops. And since Samuel had been killed, he thought I might have changed my mind. He obviously thought Samuel was still just my business partner. I didn't tell him otherwise.
What did you say to his proposition?
I said I would think it over, because I wanted him to take me home. He's an unstable person. I didn't want to tell him there and then. I had no intention of selling out.
What about your visitors, Mrs. Larinsky? Are they gone?
You saw them. You've been watching me.
No, we've been watching Steen. Mrs. Larinsky, we strongly suspect it was Steen that murdered your husband.
I see.
Well?
Mr. Donahue, my friends were just passing through Glasgow. They're really friends of my brother's. They heard about Samuel and called in to offer condolences.
But they left.
Oh, yes, Sergeant. Just after Mr. Steen brought me back, in fact.
So tell me, Chai Chu, where have you left his body?
Oh, Christ. Oh, God, no. Not again. Jesus. Hello. HQ Delta Bravo Tango. Code 21, junction of Mary Hill Road and Garscube Road. On the gap site. Oh, you'd better get the team out here quick.
Final episode of Two-Way Cut, the part of Detective Constable Montgomery, was played by Frank Gallagher, Detective Constable King by Robert Carlyle, and Elka Willems by Eliza Langland. Mrs. Salisbury, Jenny Barlow. Mrs. Steen, Marianne Reed. Detective Sergeant Sussex, Jake Darcy. Detective Inspector Donahue, Crawford Logan. Louise, Anne-Marie Timoney. Spike, Cackle Quinn. Barman, Alec Monteith. Michelle, Daniela Nardini, Police Constable Wanless, Paul Morrow, Chai Chu, Cedar Chosham, Mrs. McIntyre, Edith Ruddick, and Police Constable Hamilton by Martin McCarty. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Technical presentation was by Tommy Anderson, Graham Taylor, and Andrea Cunningham. Two-Way Cut was written by Peter Turnbull, dramatised by Stephen Mulrine, and directed on location in Glasgow and in our Glasgow studios by Hamish Wilson.
Well, that's that one sorted, so P Division gets some time off next week. Instead, you can hear a five-part thriller by King Street Junior writer Jim Eldridge. It's all about a hitman who's retired but running short of cash, and then he's blackmailed into doing one last job. Dinsdale Landon stars in Down Payment on Death.
BBC Radio 7, on DAB Digital Radio, on digital TV and online.